This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Second hour off the beaten path. Got Steve Allen Stars with me here. We're talking about the Black Panther movement, of the lies and propaganda that we were taught in schools, what the program, what the organization was all about. And you know, like I said, the Sovereign Man pretty much said it. It's an indoctrination process, and we all learned this. We learned that we were taught that the Civil War was all about slavery, and we know that's a lie. So you have to go back now, and as we get older, we realize and we reevaluate what we learned. And I think we've come to the realization, I know I've come to a realization, that much of what I learned was an indoctrination, and it wasn't the truth. Now I'm finding out the truth, and I'm not a big supporter of public schooling at all. Big time, if I had children in the system, I would pull them out of the system and do homeschooling or charter school or something. But it's going in a bad direction. It's getting worse because we're seeing now this generation of tearing down history. Now, Confederate soldiers, Confederate statues are now deemed racist statues, and they must come down. We're seeing our history being erased, eliminated everywhere they can, rewriting the history books. I'm not about that. I'm about the truth. I may not agree with everything that I read here. Definitely of the 10-point program of the Black Panthers, disagree with some of this, but I can't now ask big man Elbert Howard any of these questions to follow up why they came up with this. But I do understand being bullied. I do understand being pushed around. I do understand that. And in that sense, that's a negative. That's a bad thing. That should never happen to anybody. But like I said, going back to the Groveland Four, understanding along the way, if this was the system that was still in play, how people were being abused and they didn't have their rights and they wouldn't get a fair trial. And this, the rigged system, like I said, that Groveland Four really shook me up to say, we need four bodies. We found them and we got our pound of flesh and it all goes away. And the woman flat out lied about the attack. Nothing ever happened to her. Actually, the physician that treated her or saw her and checked her out, no evidence of sexual activity whatsoever, no trace, no semen, nothing. It never made that to court. That evidence never made it to court. They had their guys. They'd already fixed the system to convict them and send them to prison and actually kill two of them. So we're going to go back to Sovereign Man. Go ahead and finish it up on your end there.
Yeah, actually, I must have said Beetlejuice three times. Dave popped up in the chat room, and he's in the green room waiting to come on. Wondering if we could do a round table.
Yeah, that would be it.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Is that it? Is that it, Sovereign Man? I got to get the other
call.
Oh,
no, he's never done here. Come on, Sov, you got some more for
us. Have a reunion.
Okay, go for it.
Blessings, guys.
All right, buddy. Good to hear from you. You take it easy, bro. Very good to hear from him, actually.
Yeah. All right, got another caller here you may be interested in, Steve.
Okay.
Another caller. Dave, you're out there?
Rumors of my demise have been...
Oh, no! It's the etheric Dave! This isn't just Dave. This is etheric Dave. Right, Dave, how you doing, brother? I should have called
you. I'm on the right side of the grass. I'm still biodegradable, and darn it, I still have my superpowers, but I'm still working on that. How you guys doing?
Good. Good, man. Hey, you know, I was just about ready to compliment Steve on his bumper music, which I have to admit was a lot better than the stuff that we ran all the time. We never really did get our good bumper music together, did we, on that show?
No, we were just getting into all of that when everything kind of went, you know, left.
But it's been good. So, you know, all in all, I've been kind of happy. I'm sorry that we're not working together because I missed the show and I missed the network and I missed the listeners and stuff. But, you know, hey, it's all good. We pop back in once in a while just to say hello to make sure everybody's cool and we're all around, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're monitoring. You know, we're taking names, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's all good. But since you mentioned it, there is an archive, and it's been sitting on the website for like forever today, crucialnonsense.com/LS for light speed.
Oh, so yes.
Anything you
okay.
want to listen to. All except for about the first 8 minutes of the first show, because I had a technical malfunction, and we never were able to retrieve that part of the archive. But all the other 98 shows that we did live were right there.
How many shows was it?
98.
Wow. That's it. It shows you. Yeah. Okay, we did quite a few. Yeah, it was great. It was a good time. It really was. And, we, you know, as I said at that time, it was always an honor and a privilege to speak to the audience here at RBN. You know, so it was good. I was glad we had a chance to do it. And, again, we'll pop back in from time to time because we want to renew old acquaintances. And Dave, it's good that you're out there. I'm glad that you picked up on this because, I thought maybe I should call you. But then that's Steve's job, you know, Steve Elkins. I'm just kidding.
Yes, indeed. Well, hey, it's all good. Like Sav said, you said my name 3 times, and, you know, here we go.
Yeah, there you go, man. So he's got that automatic lightning listening device that you know, resonates with his name whenever it's mentioned on the air, and then that's all you got to do. It's like Superman, you know, Beetlejuice, 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 Dave, Etheric Dave, Etheric Dave.
Now, David, is it that steel plate they put in your head, the government put in your head, that rattles?
No, he rewired that.
He's got it reworked.
Actually, I have a super cluster artificial intelligence Skynet wannabe, you know, waiting in the wings to take over the world, and it's monitoring all the media, so whenever I pop up, I can come in and harass you guys.
That's excellent. That's really good. See, I mean, he's got his Raspberry Pi, and he's done a little bit of work with that, and it's on, you know, battery charge and all that kind of stuff, too, so it all works, man.
Oh,
you know,
the Raspberry Pi projects have been, you know, pretty awesome. They do all sorts of stuff from radiation monitoring, packet nodes for amateur radio, PBX, firewalls. So, you know, they're useful little devices out there, and they're cheap. The whole thing, the IT infrastructure here has gone through a complete rework. What I'm doing with the studio now, Steve, would blow your mind. I'm definitely getting to the next generation stuff, especially in audio, but starting to venture into the video post-production and special effects and all that kind of happy stuff, too.
Very cool. Very cool, man. Well, we got to hook up again, and I haven't really been doing much with radio because it has been a while since I've been doing anything. I've done a few shows occasionally here and there, but not much of it all, and so I was very glad when Steve called me up and asked me to come in, and we'll talk about one of the programs we did, because we do actually have that archive, I guess, of the big man, Albert Howard.
I don't remember what the date was on that, but, oh, yeah, we definitely have the archive on that. I think that spilled over, as I recall, over into Bob's show, and I've got the rest of that, but it's not really in the same place. But I can hunt that down, and we can
put that
back out there for everybody. That was a really good interview. I thought that was really pretty interesting. Good old Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. I mean, when you talk to people like this and you find out how they really are, it's a lot different than the media perception of them. And, of course, we had the Reverend James David, that he was running his show late at night, you know what I mean, here on RBN as well for a while. And so, you know, we are fighting a culture war, ladies and gentlemen. This is not about race. It's about culture. And people are being indoctrinated, in, as Sovereign said, into this culture. And that soon becomes a trap. And unless we wake up to this and see it for what it really is, we're going to fall prey to the pharmaceutical-backed fake news media, which owns the media essentially right now. It's hard to believe that they're using public property to lie to us like this.
Right. agree.
Oh, it's not a surprise at all. They've been doing it so damn long. It's rerun after rerun of the same damn scripts, and I'm getting kind of tired of it. It's not just the indoctrination. It's the divide that has been, you know, thrust upon the people. People trying to, you know, get all this, you know, tension and racial divides and sexual divides and this and that. And get everybody fighting amongst each other. Well, in the background, they rob us blind. Exactly. You know, we all need to come together in common purpose in something very simple that we can all agree on and screw the rest of the stuff. We'll agree to disagree and take the issue up later because we all deserve the right to be able to take that issue up later. And if we don't get over ourselves and start working together, we're not going to have that opportunity.
I agree. Wow. I either say hallelujah to that one or amen. I agree.
Yeah.
Excellent, Dave. Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I've been saying that for forever, and it's just, you know, repeating the same thing over, and we're preaching to the chorus or the choir out here because everybody in RBN is quite well informed, and they know, and they're out there doing their part, and this is good. So really what we need to do is try to simplify things and I'll try to heal the divide, because until we do that, nothing else is going to work. We need to come together. That's number one, number one, number one. Nothing else matters beyond that.
Totally agree. Thank you, Dave. That's great. Excellent.
Okay. Hey, you know, it's interesting, as though we are in this month of July, and of course, you know, if you go back 50 years ago, this was the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, which followed the assassination of Martin Luther King, you know. And I was going through the grocery store, and of course, you have these Life magazines, the Life of Bobby Kennedy, 50th year memorial, like they did with JFK. And I thumbed through these things trying to find any mention of Dr. Pepper. I mean, Dr. William Pepper, you know what I'm talking about, the one that where he did the investigation. He's trying to get Sirhan is still in prison. And he still doesn't remember what happened. I mean, the whole thing, you know, there was not one mention of the autopsy report that showed that Bobby was killed by a slug that did not match Sirhan's .22 caliber fired from about 6 inches from his lapel. I mean, there were people then who talked about multiple shooters in that Ambassador Hotel pantry. There were the woman in the polka-dotted dress, if you recall, and so many other things. 50 years later, and we still have no answers on what really happened to Bobby Kennedy because he opposed the Vietnam War and then Martin Luther King prior to that. So,
correct.
I mean, this is what we're not getting after all these years. You know, I think people are a little bit more convinced today that Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone, if at all.
Yes.
And I mean, we have a lot of people aware of what happened with JFK, but 50 years later, we still don't realize what was still going on just 4 years at, or actually five after the assassination of JFK, and continues the Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11. Look at the Mandalay hotel thing that's almost gone now. I mean, this is what's wrong with the fake news media. We are being subjugated to all kinds of terrorism and threats, and no real explanations as to what's really happening.
Yeah. Sandy Hook included, many others. Yeah, I agree.
It's extreme media. That's what they're good at. You know, they've been selling this line of bovine excrement to us for a very long time. Now that we have the internet and other channels of exchanging information freely, it's nowhere near as effective as it was back in the 60s. So at least we've got that. But it doesn't matter whether or not we ever get to the complete bottom of the truth. I think we can all agree we've been lied to. There's so many different stories about 9/11. You know, start talking about some wackadoo space weapons and micro nukes and all sorts of ridiculous stuff. It doesn't matter. And maybe it's that. Maybe it's something. It doesn't matter. We've been lied to. What are we going to do about that? Why don't we just agree that we've been lied to and not worry about what all these different stories are? Because they've poisoned the well with so much stuff. Nobody's ever going to be able to find out the exact truth. You know, 1,000 years from now, we still won't know.
Right. I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the way they keep it. And of course, you know, we have to be on the ball as the alternative media. I hate that word, but of course, the people who are out there trying to get the information out. If you're listening to this, of course, you know.
Media.
Yeah, right. It's incredible. It really is. And you know, I mean, things have, I think, improved, but we're on the verge of looking at what might happen in the United States if there is a revelation of how deep the darkness goes and how deep this swamp is and how much blood we've swept under the carpet in order to keep this facade going. I don't know how much longer, friends, it can last, you know, to be honest with you, if we don't get straight pretty quick here.
I agree.
You're absolutely right. And I think more people are aware of at least kind of how deep this goes than we're being allowed to know about. you know, well, everybody's buying the story. Everybody's buying the story. They've got the click bots, and they're faking the ratings and everything else, and nobody's listening to them anymore. So that's a very good sign.
I agree. Anything else, Dave? Anything else?
No, I don't think I got anything else. I think I'm going to go back to listening to you guys go on and on about everything else that's doing. Y'all have a great time. Stay safe. Stay free. Peace out.
Sounds good. Hey, Dave, good to hear from you, man. Okay, we'll hook up. Okay, you know, it's good to have him back, too, because that's great. You know, like you said, he must have some sort of, you know, rewired, you know, Raspberry Pi reception system to pick up on it, because I'm glad to hear from him. You know, we do stay in touch a little bit, but not enough. And but, you know, again, getting back to this whole thing here, Steve, and you know this as well as I do. We both had a background in just what is broadcasting industry. I have a degree in journalism. Our profession, or my profession, we are public enemy number one in this country right now. The news media is public enemy number one. And we're seeing it branch out now with the shadow banning that's taking place. We're seeing this, people who were, you know, moderate Republicans now finding out that they're on the list of being shadow banned and censored. We, just like Matt Drudge had predicted several years ago, I don't know which Supreme Court justice he talked to, it was probably Scalia, they said that they were coming after our First Amendment rights. Yes. And they were going to try to shut down all free speech and opposing dissident points of view. Now, this is what we saw in the 60s. It's been going on at least 50 years to this new level, you know, that we've talked about before. Of course, it's in the schools. But public enemy number one is the information gate in this country right now, because if people actually found out what was going on, this country would be totally different.
Yeah. Well, you know, on a college campus, we should have known what was coming with the First Amendment rights was when they distinguished this was a free speech zone. We should have known what was to come later on, Steve, that they'd already come up with a pocket here. You could speak what you want to say right here, but nowhere else. And if you do outside this perimeter, then it's hate speech. Of course, then the label's put on you. And of course, that's usually what shuts people down if they get a label on them. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. You will never catch me pointing out anything racial as discriminating, but I will point out bad behavior. And when I point fingers at Israel for what they do against Palestinians and the atrocities there and stealing more land and all those lies, I point out that stuff. But that's not pointing out that generalizing that all Jews are bad people, not at all.
Right.
I'm simply saying there's a difference. There's Zionists, and then there's Jewish people. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in Israel who do not agree with what the Zionist Jews are doing in Israel, taking over Palestine, and basically Palestine going through their own Holocaust right now, genocide of the Palestinians. And if we don't stop, I say if it doesn't stop in the next 5 years, that Palestine will no longer be. Palestine will be gone. There will be no more land. Palestine, the people in Palestine will either be gone, terminated, or they'll be migrating to other countries to try to start somewhere else. Maybe Jordan, I don't know, but they will not have a land to call their own anymore. But you make a good point here about the mainstream media. You know, selling the story, it seems to be that selling the story doesn't have to have truth at all, or maybe if there is some bit of truth, but most of it has been hyped up or manufactured, is good for business. It gets people in tune. It gets people to tune in to what's going on. And that's not in our best interest at all, the mainstream media. So I have no problem calling most of the mainstream media. I have no problem calling it fake news, because I read through it. I look at it, I watch a little bit, and I go, that's a lie, and I'll point out where it's a lie, and I'll point the reference to that to show it's an actual lie. But let's go back to the phones. We got Art off the grid.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Art.
You know, you were talking about if the people knew. First thing I thought was Henry Ford, when he was talking about the banking and monetary system,
right.
He said, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning if the people knew the truth. We can apply those words to everything in the world today. And you mentioned the free... I was originally calling in to talk about the Black Panthers back in the 60s and 70s when I was growing up, but then you got to start talking about free speech zones, and that's when you knew something was wrong. I can go back prior to that, back in the early and mid-1990s when I was going to these things called rainbow gatherings. And we're not talking Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition, whatever the hell that is, I have no idea. The rainbow gatherings of the Rainbow Family of Living Light, which began in 1989 in Colorado. That's where it got its start.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I hear the music.
Yes, you hear the music. Hang on, we'll be right back. This is Off the Beaten Path.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding...
You might like that one, Steve. You recognize it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. Yeah.
Robbie Trower.
Gabriel, too. Yeah. Great tunes, man. I mean, I just listen to your show just for the music, Steve. You know,
it's all good. It helps having a background in music, actually. I have a jazz show, a couple of different jazz shows. But this is way back before then. So this is the good stuff. But we're going to go back to the phones. Art off the grid. Go ahead and finish it up, Art, because we got some... We got to release the twist of what happened in our interview, and I've got some other things. I just went to the chat room and looked, and I wanted to finish up the show talking about QAnon. If any of you all been following this QAnon, this little religion here of what's coming out, hopefully, well, if it's true or if it's not true, I've got some speculation, some theories on it, but we'll do that at the bottom of the hour. But Art, go ahead and finish up what you got.
As I was going to say, I remember in the mid-90s, we used to do these gatherings in the national forest all around the country throughout the year, and then there was one big national on the first week of July in a national forest somewhere decided by the council, all consensus. And I remember back then we used to do these things. We'd have 10, 15, 20,000 people in the national forest all camping out, having a great time, enjoying themselves. Never any problems until all of a sudden they came out with anything over 75 people requires a permit. Now, this was like in 1991 and 1992 when they began doing the permits to do gatherings in your First Amendment right to gather together, and anything over 75 people now needed to require a permit. I knew right then that the First Amendment was under attack, and then about, 10 or 11 years ago, when we started hearing about free speech zones that you mentioned, I tied the two together and said, see, I told you it was going to come to this. And when it gets to the point where you have to go to a specified place to speak, you no longer have the freedom of speech. But remember, people, and I'm talking to you as a constitutionalist, someone who studied the Constitution for 4 damn years. That was my focus. I did nothing but focused on studying the Constitution, learning the intent of the founders. And when they said the right shall not be infringed, they meant shall not be infringed. It doesn't matter where you go, unless, of course, you go into a business, then you have to abide by their rules. But if you are outside on the street, you can go any damn where you want, say any damn thing you want, as long as it's political speech. You cannot slander, defame, or verbally attack outright out of meanness. The right to free speech is political speech, not protesting at somebody's funeral. Right. Political speech. That is your right to protest, your right to assemble and seek grievance.
I agree.
To seek remedy.
Totally
you
agree.
There's no such free speech zone. Kiss my rumpus.
You know, Art, I can go back to the date of let's say May 4th, 1970. Does that ring a bell to you, Steve?
May 4th, 1970. No, it doesn't actually. Except
that's
for
the date. That's the date of the Kent State shooting. Protest.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay. That's, in my lifetime, that is what I can look back now in history, now that I'm more educated in what's going on in politics. But was that not a way for the government to stifle the people who objected to the Vietnam War? Sure, it was. And, a starting gun creates a shooting. Amazing. Amazing. Hey, Art, right. I need to get to what we got to talk about here. We got to finish up. I appreciate you calling in. Let's get now to the twist of that that interview with Edward Elbert Big Man Howard. So we had this, Steve and I thought we had a very, very sound interview with the big man himself. And I normally do this when I have a show and I have a guest on. I'll contact him either on the phone after the interview or I'll email him. But we'll get to that. Get back after this break. Listening to Off the Beaten Path.
Cool.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are back. It's a great intro song to come back into this topic here. So let's get to the twist of our interview. I was shaken up by it when it first happened. I know you and I were in communication right after the interview with Albert Big Man Howard, and I thought it was a success story. It was a feather in my cap. I think you probably feel the same. And I walked away going, yes, we kicked some butt. You know, that was awesome. Later to find, like I said, normally contact a guest and thank them personally on the phone right after the interview, or email them, or do both. I did not call. I end up emailing. Can't remember why. Maybe I tried to and left a message or something. But I had emailed And I got a response back, which I sent over the email to Steve Allen here. And I was shocked. I was shocked at what came back out of that interview, which I thought, like I said, was an awesome interview. I was called a racist. Steve was called a racist. The network was called a racist organization. And I went back and I tried. I was in shock. I couldn't believe what had just happened here. An awesome interview turns into both of us being called racist. The network is a racist organization. And realizing that it actually had not come from the big man, Albert Howard, but his wife had control of his email and had made the decision, her realization that we were a racist organization. Both Steve and I were both racist, and this was a terrible interview we did, made him look bad. We painted him in a bad light, a bad picture. And I think you and I were both kind of shocked, and so I sent another email off to the big man Albert Howard, which I realized that his wife controls his email. My email never got to the big man Albert Howard. I'm sure of that. She had made the decision herself that it was a bad interview. We painted him in a bad light, and we're a bunch of racists ourselves, and RBN is a racist organization. I remember she did quote in the second email saying that one of our advertisers had a book talked about pulling the race card. Well, hey, this is the real world. We've seen the race card pulled quite often, whether it's the LGBTQ+, the black race card, the brown race card for Hispanics. We have seen the race card pulled to shut people down, to stifle them, to shut them up. And so that book was talking about how to come back to somebody who attempts to use the race card on you to get their way with you. And so I remember that advertising that book, but she came back, shot back again. We are a bunch of racists. Don't ever contact me again. And like I said, I was shocked because I'm pretty sure, even though they call, you know, Albert the big man Howard, the gentle giant, a quiet man, he was one of the five leading members of creating the Black Panther movement. So I can't imagine, Steve, and you'll probably agree with me, that Albert would not sit back and allow us to use him and put him in and show him in a bad light. That was an awesome interview, and I would never ever step back and say otherwise. It was an awesome interview. We did a fine job of talking about the realization of being really in the zone of what was really going on versus what we learned and where we're taught at school. And so I was confident. I did shake my head and walk back and go, well, I feel confident about it. I don't care what his wife says, but here's the kicker about it. Here was somebody, maybe that's why she was so angry about that book being advertised in RBN about pulling the race card. Now, this is their ironic, funny part of the whole scenario. I never heard back from Albert that he was unhappy with it. I'd actually left the radio station after that, I believe, or he never showed up for a while because he was sick. I think that's what it was. I didn't see him to actually talk to him and said, hey, I got an email from your wife saying this and this. What is your opinion? Because I thought it was a very good interview. But it turns out his wife, who I met later on, is Lily White.
Yeah, she's white. I know.
She's Lily White. She's whiter than white. She's whiter than me. She's like this.
This is what we're talking about, that liberal left-end group of people who are stepping into these situations to make it worse, exacerbate the situation. And as you said, Steve, it was a great interview. We had no problems at all talking, as you know. I'm not putting the ladies down there. So, ladies, if you're listening, please don't feel that way. But, I mean, she's a plant, in my opinion. And I said that at that time. She's a handler, is what she is. Yes. And, of course, her comments didn't get on the air, which were just fine with me. You know, what happened off the air with those nasty emails that she wrote us, you know, after a great interview, which I thought ended up with a very positive note. We were even talking about his jazz collection and music and stuff like that. And we were enjoying our time, coming to grips with situations that we tried to see from each other's perspectives and put those things in the proper analysis of what was happening so that we could see the bigger picture, you know, how these groups were being manipulated and the things that people were doing to stand up against the establishment.
but then became a party to this camouflaged attack that was all just basically intended to keep this divisive kind of motive going on to tear us down. And she was surely one of those plants, I thought, Steve, who was manipulating or a handler of Elbert Big Man Howard at that time. And that's probably the reason why we didn't hear much from him. If he had anything to say or knew about it, I mean, I don't know whether he, you know, had the gumption or the energy at his age to try to resist it. But the bottom line is I'm glad none of that got on the air, because you should have heard this woman. I mean, she just sounded like one of these people in the street that you see in L.A. that are just off their rocker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she definitely had an agenda, but she was way off course when it came to us. Like I said, I left the interview feeling very good about it. I think you did, too. And like I said, the ironic part was that somebody that he was white, who doesn't even understand that whole racism issue, is speaking out for somebody else. And I don't think Elbert would agree. I know he wouldn't. Or he's a big guy. He's a strong-willed guy. Because like I said, he's one of the founding members, the five founding members. He would have got up out of that interview and said, "This interview is over." I think I know pretty certain this man would have said, "This interview is over. This is not what I had planned, and this paints us in a bad way." He would have walked away from the mic. I'm sure he would have.
Right, and I even commented to her, and one of my responses to her was that, look, this is where he belongs. He needs to be talking to our audience. This is where he needs to bring his point of view. This is why we have him on. He's perfectly free to say whatever he likes, and, you know, we're not here to, you know what I mean, this is not one of those, what you might call a high-tech lynching radio programs at all. We brought him on as a guest to reflect on his perspective of history. I was very pleasantly surprised at how he handled himself so well. And for her to act like that was just plain ugly. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
But,
you know, there ought to be a law in this country. I mean, if you're a racist, that's one thing. There ought to be a law where people are prosecuted and held accountable for labeling people racist. Because that is a damaging label, and it's a slander. I mean, people should be... If you were to say that...
It's defamation.
It is a defamation. And they ought to be taken to court. And they said, you're going to have to prove this and convince a jury that you're correct. Because if not, you're paying. You know, because this language has been far too dangerous. You know, ladies and gentlemen, lies are horrible things. They really are. I mean, lies, as I've said before, the biggest public enemy is, you know, the lying news media right now. It really is. You know, but sticks and stones will break your bones. But lies will damn your soul forever. You know, I mean, that's how bad it is. And this is what we've got running rampant. This isn't free speech, in my opinion. And this isn't the free marketplace of ideas. This is engagement in deception and emotional turmoil that's intentionally being done for no good purpose.
Well, you know, back in the 70s, there was a lot more people that I wish could file a lawsuit for defamation of character. And you agree, it is a label. It is something that you can't just say. You just can't say something without you have to have something to back up your claim. If you claim this, then you need to back that up. And if you can't, it is defamation of character. Hey, we're going to go right back to the phones here, Steve. I got Chris in Las Vegas. You're on. Chris, are you there?
I am. Sorry about that. I didn't hear you call on me. I was wanting to suggest that this is very closely related to... To Trey Gowdy and his inquisition of Strzok and Rob the Rat Rosenstein, and their outcome determinative bias and animus they show to people without any predicate facts, or what he calls fact-centric support for their thesis. And this is what this woman is doing. She's obviously a self-white-hating handler, or perhaps a... mentor, or maybe a CIA operative undercover asset in there,
right,
to keep this gentleman under control without his knowledge, although I certainly respect his opinion. Like you, we invite all people, no matter what their color or their position, to share their opinions as long as they're able to share them and perhaps have alternative views suggested in opposition thereto or in support thereto. It's not about their opinion. It's about whether their opinion is based upon facts or mere perception deceptions.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Absolutely. Agree. Very well said. Yes.
Yeah.
Very
yeah,
well said.
I just make your point. And, you know, I respect everybody's opinion. Everybody's right to have an opinion. But you got to make your points, and you notice that whenever you debating a liberal is impossible. It's actually a waste of time. It's an ideology. You can't get through these people, even with the facts and the figures. You cannot. I think you would agree with that, Art. You just can't waste your time because it's an ideology. It's a lifestyle. It's a living. It's ingrained in their DNA, I guess you might say. So I don't even waste my time. But I know I'm hitting a nerve of when they get nasty. When they start getting nasty and start pulling the race card or labeling me, attempting to label me in a negative light, then I know I've hit a nerve because I'm on point. They're not on point. They can't be on point, so they get nasty. And that's how I know I'm speaking about something I know about. They don't know.
If I might offer another point of view that is supported by my actual factual knowledge of being victimized by being falsely labeled and incriminated and inflammatory discolored as a domestic terrorist or put on the terrorist watch list as Hot 10 TW8, supposedly somebody who allegedly wants to kill police and court officials and is suicidal, when I am absolutely not, being a former multi-jurist law enforcement professional, I certainly support lawful acting employees of the police and the court, but when they act as outlaws and criminals, then they fall outside scope, sphere, and color of law, and they deserve to be held accountable for their criminal actions against us. And being put nearly to death twice by being colored as so and put into the NCIC database is tantamount to you being accused and the radio station being accused of being racist when they were being open-minded and inviting opposition opinions and even race discussion in an honest format. So thank you very, very much, Steve, for bringing this important question to the table today on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, thank you, Art. Appreciate that. No, I recognize everybody's opinion and right to give their opinion. But like I said, Steve, you know it really fast if you get attacked personally. We're talking personal attacks. Personal attacks, I know I'm on point. They're not on point. They can't debate or talk about the issues in a nice, rational way. I'm a rational guy. I can keep my voice down, and we can talk about issues in a rational manner and find whether right or wrong, whoever the side is. But when they get nasty and they can make personal attacks on you, guess what? You're on point. They're not on point. That's why they resort to that method to slander you, to label you, to basically shut you up because they don't want anybody else to learn the truth either. They want to keep everybody in their own little bubble in the world there. We're going to go back to the phones. We got Murr in Wisconsin.
Hi. How are you
Hi,
guys?
Hi, Murr.
Are you my fellow Space Force cadets?
We are.
Yeah. Well, this Q phenomenon is a good thing, actually. A lot of positive stuff in it. And I'm finding all kind of interesting material in it, like Louis Gohmert's expose on Mueller, 48-page, Mueller Unmasked. That was posted on Q. There's a lot of things there. And I think it's an AI program, and I think I probably told you that before. But what I really wanted to say was this wife of Elbert's, her last name was Hyams, H-Y-A-M-S. That's not white. That's Jewish. Jewish is a race. Okay, that's why they test their DNA when they let them in over there. Okay?
I met her, and I never picked up on
that. Well, let's quit calling Jewish people white people, okay?
Okay.
I see that double billing here and there everywhere. They're not Jesuits. They're not pharaohs. They're Jews, and they're behind a whole lot of this stuff. You have to admit that the FBI op here, the Black Panthers, was also involved with the Weather Underground, which also had Jonah Raskin, who taught in university and wrote before he was into that counterculture. Donald Fleigelman, a little younger than that, was a weatherman bomber expertise guru before he taught school for 25 years. Okay.
Wow.
And, of course, Abby Hoffman and Allen Ginsberg and Howard Mockting and Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. And Bill Ayers ghost wrote Obama's books and goes on and on. But the thing, this Talmud Stream media is so demonizing Trump because he is going after this pedovore Satanist culture, death cult. I mean, look, it's all coming to the surface, Disney and all the rest of them. Let this Talmud Stream, this mud stream collapse. We're calling it mainstream or anything else. It's mud, pure dirt, stinking mud. Let it collapse of its own weight. Ignore it. Walk away. Shun it. All the
like
movies,
that.
All of it.
Mudstream media. I like that.
Listen,
that sounds good.
And the music, jazz. Look what Henry Ford had to say about that. I'll put that in your chat room.
No. Don't you pick on jazz now. Jazz is good.
Oh, yes, I will. It's just an op from an earlier age. See, this is what we don't give the Jews credit for, is they bring things forward. They steal. They can't create. They
You're telling me that Jews created jazz?
Klezmer. You ever hear Klezmer?
No.
Well, that's where it came
blacks
from.
Invented
it came
jazz.
From Jews,
jazz
and then
was invented
adopted
by black people.
By blacks.
No,
this is how it is. Sorry. That's how it is.
All right, Murr, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
And that was good, though. Interesting, you know, because, I mean, there's some good points there, of course. And, you know, the key thing is we've had actually Barry Shamish on, and I know he's not real popular with a lot of people, but he explains how the Sabbatean Labor Party in Israel have run things around everybody for so long. These people go way back to, you know, Shevet Zvi, this rabbi who claimed to be the Antichrist in 1666, you know. And I mean, if you look at some of the Labor Party people today, look at the Labor Party. These are the people who formulate the kinds of folks who are Soros, George Soros. I mean, they had no qualms at all about throwing any Jew to the lions if it would basically further their cause towards their initiative with Israel. In 1938, a lot of the Jews met with FDR at Evian in France, and FDR was saying at that time, look, why don't we see if we can find a way to get Jews out of Europe if there's such persecution there? And these Labor Party Jews said, no way, because if we take out 90%, the other 10% of the Jews will be persecuted. You know, so they actually fought the idea of peacefully moving people out of that region at that time. And because later on, they were planning to actually use this process of furthering their agenda as it would progress. And Barry Shamish talks about this, the Labor Party Jews, the Sabbatean Labor Party Jews in the Holocaust. He exposes all of this in his books, you know. So, you know, kind of interesting stuff there. So again, what we're saying here, this is not all Jews, but it's a certain class and a category of some of these people who are deadly even to their own kind. Soros is a classic example of that kind of activity.
Well, yeah, she had some good points to make, but she's wrong about the blacks. I mean, about the Jews creating jazz. And Sam and I are going back for this. I'd like to hear some Jew jazz. I said, I don't have any. There's no such thing. Blacks created jazz. They created jazz. Art Tatum, Jelly Roll Morton, Teddy Wilson, Cannonball Adderley, and even before their times. No, and blues was created by not Jews. It was created by black people living in the ghettos, and that was their entertainment, of course. Music was their way out of their surroundings at the time. Blues. They sing the blues, and that is a fact. So I don't know where she got the Jew jazz thing. I don't know. But not that there's not some Jewish people that are in jazz today. I'm sure of that. But overall, blacks actually created jazz. That's a fact. So, you know, I'd wanted to go into this other issue here, so I'm not going to. The QAnon, she mentioned it. I need an extra half an hour. I don't think James Kelsey is going to give me his half an hour because he wants to talk about Trump phenomenon. Yeah. Trump phenomenon. Huh. Trump phenomenon.
Very good.
Yeah.
So
we're not going to get that.
He's still on, huh? He was on during that time when our show was running, and I remember the Trump phenomenon. He used to follow our show, so yeah, it's very interesting. Maybe I can do a report on the swamp. You know, one of my helicopter reports on the swamp. If you'll let me get out and get the helicopter started, Steve. When we come back, I'll give you a quick rundown of what I see.
Yeah, you know that you can drain that swamp, but do you know how much muck is on the bottom of that swamp there, Steve?
Oh, that's why you don't want to drain it.
Well, that's like quicksand. How deep does that thing go? You know, and that's what I want to know. But, you know, I'm going to bring this up. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this next week, talk about the QAnon. But if Murr is still listening, I wanted to look up this guy here. He's pretty sound. He's a pretty educated man. His name is by name of Bernard Grover, Grover. And he goes into many possible theories of the whole QAnon. And it's really interesting. I don't have time now. I've got 4 sheets here in front of me. I've done a lot of homework, done a lot of digging around. And I have to agree with, I think Bernard Grover may have hit the nail right on the head on this issue. But I'll talk more about that next week. I think I'll open up the show with that. Talking about QAnon, is it real? Is it a psyop? Look back at CIA history of what they've created and things they've done. It starts to kind of go in that direction. And I wish it didn't, but I kind of think it does. So we'll talk more about that next week. Anything else you want to mention, Steve? I mean, like I said, I thought the interview went well. And I just, it's a great story. I think I wrote it down in my little memoirs here of doing an interview with the big man, Albert Howard, and being called a racist by his wife. And I did meet her, and I can usually sometimes pick up that they're, you know, people are Jewish. They have a certain, don't get me stereotyping people and say, but you know, some things you can pick up pretty fast. I don't know much about his wife. I know he married her in 2007, I believe. And they moved to Santa Rosa after leaving, I think, Sebastopol. And but I just thought it rather ironic to be called a racist by a white person. I just thought that was hilarious, and I'll never forget it. She was way off base, but you're right. She was a handler, Steve. Yeah. She was a handler. He never saw my email, and that sad part is I couldn't contact him. I think I'd even called him to talk to him personally, to thank him personally of what he told us in his experience with this group, and I never heard back from him. Hell, she probably just erased the voicemail, or it was an answering machine. She probably just erased it and kept this belief going that what she was saying was she was talking through Albert, and that was his feeling. I never saw him again. He was ill at that time. He never came back to work. And then I had left that station for another station for my jazz show, and never decided not to pursue this any longer because you and I agree that it was pointless to try to, because if my messages are always intercepted, it's pointless. Unless I drive up to his house and knock on his door, she's probably going to call the police and say I'm harassing them, right?
Right. Yeah, that's the kind of routine they're going to go through. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that they do. I mean, these are people who basically want to take the reputation of somebody and use it for their own means. And, of course, when you actually talk to the person himself, it's a lot different. But the persona that they're selling and the ideology, and, of course, you know, none of her comments ever got on the air. And as we had stated so clearly that, you know, it was a great time for him to come on and share. And we opened the mic up for a man like this to talk for the very purpose of allowing him free speech. And it was surprising how much we got along with.
Yeah. You know what? And I also thought if she really felt that way, what if she had not called in that day and told Albert to abort this interview? Wouldn't she have done that? Knowing what we saw in the emails, wouldn't she have been that kind of person to call in to say, Albert, stop the interview. These are racist. She did it behind her backs, but didn't have the courage to call in.
Right. She didn't want to be identified as what she really is. You know, a plant, a handler, you know, whatever the situation. I'm sure there was another interest besides just Albert involved with that relationship.
Right. Well, there's our music. Steve Allen Stars, thank you so much for coming on today.
And hey,
it was
my
nice,
pleasure.
Nice work. Nice working. I want you to come back again sometime.
Okay, buddy.
And maybe we can bring back Dave this time.
Yeah, Dave too. Yeah. just send out the Raspberry Pi tone and he'll pick it up.
I will do. Hey, thanks again. Tune back in next Sunday for Off the Beaten Path, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Nell Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.